The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Oh my God. It's okay. Just spent last night and today. Finally, the tears are coming. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going with my life. Nothing that I used to know or count on is really available to me anymore. Mm-hmm. And because I'm tapering off of my anxiety medication, I feel like the truth is finally, you know, bubbling to the surface. I'm able to be in touch with those emotions. I'm kind of grieving a lot of what I lost because I've been medicated very heavily and just sort of like, yeah, whatever, the past year or so of this pandemic. And I feel like the magnitude is hitting me even more, but whatever.
Look, I this is zero taking away from like your journey, your feelings, but I'm also feeling a lot of feelings right now too. So yeah. I think there's a heaviness on top of like your journey as well, like that's adding to it. Well, and I'm very much like, what the fuck? Why? What's with the testing that's happening? I didn't sign up for a pop quiz universe.
I'm like, why are we having a collective like unraveling? You know, it's like we're supposed to have it like a different pops and buzzes so that we can support one another. And now everyone's right. Like, I'm tapped out. I can't fucking help you. I'm just tied up in my own shit. And it's not nice, but I don't know. And then shit like getting a terrible head cold in the middle of the summer happens to nice people like our guest Liriel. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Yep. Love that post cold, just sort of where you actually sound emotional because you've got a little bit of the post cold voice still hanging on.
I know, like you could do some really good VO work, which is kind of what you're doing today.
Yeah, right. No, I feel like, so after shows we used to go to in Charlotte, there was a Waffle House we used to go and like get food. I sound like the old waitress. Her name was Chainsaw and she was about 70 years old and had four teeth. So I feel like that's what I sound like right now.
Do you know the origin of the name Chainsaw?
I wish I did. So we used to take bands and stuff that would come through there. And we like, hey, let's go get food at Waffle House. We take them to go see this lady Chainsaw. She always worked the night shift. She's like, how you boys doing tonight? And like all these like crazy bands all tatted up. We're all like taking over this little Waffle House. And she was just the sweetest old lady who'd been there 100 years. And she'd make them sign a hat and they'd stick it to the wall. And that was it.
I love it. Yeah, I know. When you're like Chainsaw, sounds like you did something violent to earn that nickname, yet she was a sweetheart.
So she was.
Who knows?
Maybe she's just out like, you know, deforesting dicks. You know what I'm saying? Like, sorry.
Yeah, and you know, like,
that's exactly where my brain went, just left and right.
And every break, she's just out there smoking Marlboro Reds, just like drinking whiskey on the job. Like, who knows what she was doing? She was just living life.
Living her best Waffle House life. Yeah. You know, to be fair, like a John Waters character for female was named Hatchet Face. So,
yeah, you
know,
who's like maybe a hero of mine actually growing up. I was like, you can look like that and make out as hard as you want. Thank you, John Waters, for teaching me life is going to be okay. Yep. Yet again, you know, there's a, we could, Yeah, there's so many life lessons to be had from John Waters films.
But speaking of life lessons. Yeah,
speaking of life lessons. Right. I would say if you're joining us, hi guys, welcome back to part two, Bouncers of Sidework. Here we are. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
And I'm your co-host, Brooke Van Poplin. And joining us today, which we mentioned, is our friend and listener of the pod and also bouncer extraordinaire, Lariel. Do you go by your full name, Lariel Jane Doe?
Well, that's what I legally changed it to, and I nice. Still can't believe I got away with that. I was like, oh, cool. And maybe they didn't notice. I just go by Lariel, and yeah.
You are like Cher. It's like Cher or Prince. We understand. So Lariel, welcome, welcome. We couldn't continue with part two of this topic without also imbuing some more of this episode with some of your stories and perspectives before we continue on with our interview, you know, with Jarrett. Yeah, so tell us your background in how you got into being a security, a door person, a bouncer. And take a sip of that tea before you spill it.
So it kind of started. So I'm a trans girl. So I transitioned about 4 years ago. And before I transitioned, I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Nice.
And it sounds silly, but I wanted to start training something so that I would feel safe because I grew up in the South. I had my ass kicked multiple times for being feminine, if you could imagine that.
And, wow, no, never heard that story.
Right? So I started looking up. I'm like, well, what is the most self-defense, like, specific for women? What can be good? And Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu came up over and over and over. So I went and started, and I fell in love. And after a year, I transitioned. I told my family. I told my ex. And everything kind of fell apart from there, except Jiu-Jitsu. I just kept training. Nice. Every single day, sometimes twice a day. And after kind of living in my truck a little bit and trying to figure out the first year of transition, I had made friends with a girl, and her boyfriend was running security at this bar called The Graduate, which is now closed since COVID.
Okay.
And he knew that I was training, and I was also looking for work because I had lost my job. It was just a whole mess my first year. And I was like, yeah, I'd love a job. What do I do? What is it? And he goes, it's bouncing. I'm like, I'm in. Let's do this. I've been training for 2 years now. I feel confident. Like, I can do this. It's easy work. And I had done it before years and years and years ago in my early 20s. And now I actually knew how to fight and defend myself. So I felt safe. And all the boys there were huge. So I show up to the grad, and I did not really know that it was a country western bar. Line dancing on Thursday nights, and it was 18 and over. So we had all the Cal Poly kids that would show up, most of them underage. And then we had the 21 and overs that would come in. And so the bar was divided. We had a big dance floor, a soda bar, and then we pulled out, not even kidding, old hockey panels from an ice rink that closed, sectioned off the bar area, bolted them together, and put a bouncer at each door, the entrance of the front and back, and that was the drinking area.
Wow. So
we had
So a corral, if you will.
We called it the corral.
Wow, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the bar floor was just brick. The stools and chairs were all these giant thick wood that we had to move out of the way and arrange every night because it was also a restaurant during the day that no one ever ate at. So that we had to check everyone got a hand stamp when they came in the door. Mm-hmm. It even said like over 21 or you suck or something like that on it if you're under 21. So it was clever.
Right.
I started out working the front door and learning how to check IDs. And honestly, any bar in the future, if you can put a girl on the door besides a big scary man, there's much better response. People are much nicer, more open, and we can also spot the assholes real quick.
Yes.
So I got good at working the door. I got good at spotting fake IDs. I got to keep all the ones that were not American. We had a lot of field workers, a lot of like Mexicans, a lot of people from all over that would come up for Friday night, which was mucho caliente.
Yeah. Nice.
So that was
I love that this is great. Yeah, you're talking Central Coast and a bunch of people getting their Southern gentleman cosplay on. You
know? My God, you have no idea. These Cal Poly kids would put on this deep Southern accent that I think they learned from watching country music videos. And I'm like, honey, I grew up in the South. You sound ridiculous right now.
The only thing I learned from watching country music videos is how to leave my wife with kids. Oh my
God. I do know that I've got a sugar shaker, though. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So Friday nights was our big fight night. That's when everyone would drive up from where I live, Santa Maria, come and drink and party and just big groups. And then they would just settle their shit at the bar. It just, they would get into fights every Friday. It seemed like there was just something. So after I'd worked the door, I would come inside around like midnight or so, because midnight till two was when it started to get a little rowdy. And we would have 600 people in there. I mean, it was a big place.
It's Roadhouse. It's like four times the size of the movie Roadhouse.
It really felt you like were, that.
You needed multiple Daltons, you know?
Oh, yeah. And so one of my first, I think it was in the first 2 weeks I was there, I'm working a corral door, and I see this like big old Marine boy grab this little Mexican guy by the head and try to knee him in the head. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to kill this guy. So without even thinking, I grabbed the bar back, put her on the corral and said, don't let anyone in. I come up behind the big Marine, set a rear naked choke on him real quick, dropped him to the ground, drug him out the back door and left him there with two bouncers. He woke up and went, what happened? And they said, our girl just dragged you out the door. So, and I'm not even kidding, that getting that choke the right way, it doesn't cut their air off. It simply just gets their arteries, stops the blood to their head. They go to sleep real quick. They wake up nice and easy. So he was out within 6 seconds. It was over. Wow. And so after that, I kind of had a reputation in the bar that I might be the cute one bouncing through and skipping across the floor, but I will put you to sleep.
And yes. So, like, we've got a Vulcan on the premises.
Right. And that's what jiu-jitsu teaches you, is not to, like, you're not going to square up with, like, this boy that's going to punch me in the face and break every bone I have. You're going to come from the side. You're going to get behind them. You're going to manage the distance so that you don't have a conflict. We don't want people to get hurt. And so I kind of developed that, like, walk. They would let me walk around and keep an eye on things. And, you know, if I saw something that looked weird, I knew how to control the person and stop them from engaging and not having to lay hands in the way that you would like punch or hurt somebody. And so
right.
I think more and more, especially police officers, need to learn how to control someone the right way, mm-hmm. where you don't have to rely on these other things. And we also had multiple people around so that if something happened, I had two people behind me or behind them to handle the situation. It was all about de-escalation. That's the biggest thing, is you don't want to get them worked up. You don't want to get in their face. You want to get them calm. You want to get them to just relax. You offer to buy them a drink if they're kind of drunk. You're like, hey, come over here. Let's go talk. Come with me outside. You open the door. You let them walk out, and then you close it behind them. And that's it.
Right, right.
I mean,
right.
These are the rules of Roadhouse that get taught to the staff. I mean, I swear to God.
It really is.
It really is. And the thing that I was reflecting on, we both were reflecting on, which you'll hear more about in this episode, is like, by the way, your place of work creates these situations. So it's this funny thing, like, all right, we're going to put them in this corral with a hockey floor, give them tons of alcohol and country mm-hmm. music, but then it is mm-hmm. our job to de-escalate the crazy situation mm-hmm. we just started.
Yeah, you have to be the cookies and the insulin at the same time, you know, yes. basically, yeah. right?
And what's funny, like, I still have pictures, I think, of it, but, like, behind the bar, there were, like, four spikes coming out where they had put, like, these dollar store skulls on them. Like, it was just, it had that old school vibe. I'm so sad it closed, because I loved that place. Because when I wasn't bouncing, I wanted to make it, like, I wanted to be there more. And I wasn't, like, I wasn't cute enough to bartend. So I learned how to cook. I got behind the, yes. I got in the food. I would do lunch shifts. I would do dinner. I'd do Sunday football. I did all that stuff just to like hang out because I enjoyed working there.
My favorite part of this is that you were basically like, I've been preparing for this my whole life. Like, that's almost like what it comes down to. And I'm sure, you know, just telling the story that you did, like being able to go in there and work, like it sent you on your way to achieve even greater things, like after, you know, which is amazing.
And it was,
is this the only place you bounced?
I bounced in California, yes. So in Tennessee, I had worked security at a place, I think it was called the Electric Cowboy.
You've got a type. What can I say, Liriel?
I know. Type. I know.
And here's what I think is going to have to happen is we're going to have you back on the show to talk about specifically honky tonks, country western bars. We're going to shape an entire episode around you.
Okay.
So this is today's just a small taste of what you have accomplished.
and the best part about this bar was how nice and how welcoming. Like I was a trans girl. They did not know really like that environment hadn't really had much of that besides a few people that would come in and they would kind of snicker or make jokes at. But then all of a sudden I'm got these girls coming up to me saying, I feel safer. I'm glad that you're here. And thank you for this and that. And I'm like, I needed work. I'm glad I can facilitate that for you. And then to have these giant boys that were, you know, ex-gangsters and military, and they all like had no issue with pronouns. They had no issue with any of that. They were just wonderful. And I'm like, this is great. This is how it should be. Yeah. Like, we're all just here to have fun. This is a bar. That's all it is. It's just a fun place to hang out.
Fuck yes.
It's, and I will say this too. It's just like bars are just sort of, you know, for better or for worse, they end up sometimes being your chosen family, as we all know.
Yep.
A lot of people with different reasons for maybe wanting to walk away from their day to day, and you go choose your Cheers family, which is all walks of life. And you're like, hey, guys, can we just all decompress? No judgment, no bullshit. All exist as we are and have some beers. And it can be beautiful. It can be very counterintuitive to what you may have also been expecting. You know, I'm always fearful. If I'm going into a country bar, I'm like, there's gonna be rampant racism and sexism and homophobia. And while that can be true, you can be very, very delightfully surprised to find quite the opposite.
Yeah, especially when you're two-stepping that aggression out on the dance floor. Exactly. You know? Getting it out. Also, these are the type of like people that can actually dance. They like pay attention and they have dance moves under their belt.
They did
lessons. It's impressive.
They had lessons an hour beforehand. People would come and learn the dances and then they would show off the rest of the night.
That's like amazing. That's like us getting those dance lessons before Dale Watson.
In Austin,
Texas. And I have to say, like, it's my own stupidity and a very tired trope that people in the South aren't progressive. And I want you to all know, like, I check that and I'm always trying to check that in my own mind. I think we all know it's like weird Michigan militia people who are the problem.
Exactly.
it's like the South is amazing. And we need to stop doing the thing where people are like, oh, you liberal coastal elites and oh, you silly Southern people. It's a real great grab bag of human life and tons of acceptance and, you know, whatever. So I'm already just checking myself. I'm like, I do not think that the South is backwards.
I mean, it was in the 90s, but it's gotten better.
It was. Again, but it's like all the young generations just ushering out the old bullshit, you know?
For sure.
Which is good. Well, that being said, we do want to do another episode with you down the road.
Okay.
And we just thought you would be a lovely little different perspective from your experience to sprinkle in here. So
yeah, you basically gave us a live server submitted story, like our first one kind of ever. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. It's really fun.
Your t-shirt's dropping in the mail today.
Oh, cool.
Liriel signed up for Apple Podcasts, even though she hates it, just to review us. So I was like,
oh my God, I love it so much.
I know.
You know, and if you guys out there have any more stories, or were you a bouncer? Did you work a door? Do you have any amazing tales? Please send them our way at sideworkpod@gmail.com.
And we will move into part two now of you've been bounced with Jarrett Hayes, and hear more about what it takes to do this job. But thank you so much for contributing and telling us some of your experience so far, Lariel. We'll get you back on the pod to talk
about.
Oh,
yeah.
Soon.
I can't wait to chat more.
Cool.
And
thank
feel
you
better.
So much. I appreciate yes. it.
You're welcome. Yeah. Get that voice.
Thanks.
Honey. Lots of honey and hot tea. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay. It's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I mean, this is just a crazy caveat as well. Like, for you to stay safe, there's already enough dangers, which we can get more into. But like my local Rite Aid, one of the employees, they'd been begging for someone to just be a security guard at the store. Mm-hmm. And one of the employees, because they're a really tight-knit group, this was almost a week ago, he suspected someone of having merchandise that they were, you know, put in their bag or under their coat, confronted them to, you know, to ask them about it, which... does not pay, and this person shot and killed them in the Rite Aid this Thursday. Lord, and you're sitting there going, there's not enough money in the world, especially at these jobs, to take on. It's like you let them walk out and call the police. Yeah. Like, let them go. Like, I feel so bad. This is clearly someone who went above and beyond and has pride in his job and was protecting the store. But it's like at the end of the day, like, fuck that. It's so sad.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's very sad, and it's also scary because there are definitely incidences that I remember, like, seeing guns. One in particular was at one of the bars that I used to work at. One of the regulars was getting into an argument with another person, and they were going back and forth. And they were, and the rest of the patrons like, hey, you want to just keep an eye on this? So I was like, all right. So I went out there and I was just on my phone, not making a never mind, because they were arguing. There was nothing else that was happening. It was just words. No one was touching anyone, just going back and forth with words. So I knew that everything was cool. And then one of them went inside, just calmed down while the other one was talking to another patron. And he was like, well, and ultimately, I didn't hear exactly what he said, but he said, well, if he had done this, he pulled out a gun and cocked it. I was like, all right, fuck me. Here we go.
Boy. Yeah. And these are these fucking stories that you hear about shootings at bars and clubs, is that like the bouncer always gets taken out, you know? Like they're the first person there. They're the one that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And more along the lines of that, like I worked this one job one day because it was $125 that night plus $20 tab and free food.
Sure.
I was like, heck yeah, I need that money. But then I went in and I realized why. This establishment doesn't really check IDs. They allow all ages all the time.
Wow.
And like the only rule that they have is no smoking of weed in the bar, and just make sure that no one's drinking alcohol that wasn't bought inside. So I basically did my thing where I sit outside and I check IDs and whatnot, thinking that I was in the right. Turns out that night they made more money because I kept out the younger crowds than they ever did. And there was no incidents. And like a couple of weeks later, there was a small shootout and two people got shot. They were both survived, I think, and that same establishment. But after that one shift, I was like, I was never going to go back. And yeah.
I mean, the perspective of it all is so fucking crazy. Like, you know, we talk about the bartender of like, bartender perspective all the time, the server perspective of like, you know, working with people, like being like sober. I'm going to do air quotes sober, but like sometimes, like, you know, as a bartender, like I purposely wouldn't even start drinking if I did that shift until maybe like things were winding down, you know, like in the height of it, you were to be sober and like having all this responsibility like on your shoulders at the same time and just seeing the most fucked up people you've ever seen in your whole life is so much.
I can't tell you how many times I was flirted with by both guys and girls. It was just the most amazing thing. I was like, are you sure you're not looking at me in sober eyes? I'm pretty sure you're not looking at me in sober eyes, because I look like a dolphin that found out that he can walk. And here y'all go like, oh, you're so hot. I'm like, no, you know, stop. Yeah. Don't stroke my ego, please. But seriously, like, it is weird to, you know, see people walk in, because usually when people walk in, you can tell that they're okay.
Right.
I've seen people walk in totally, look like they're totally sober, and like 5 minutes later, they're like slumped over in the seat being dragged down. I'm like, what in the hell?
What happened?
Yeah.
We're missing that 5 minutes of tape. Yeah, what happened?
You know, sometimes you just gotta keep your shit together until you get inside. Then you just let it all spill out all over.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, so can you speak to the experience of refusing entry for people who are too fucked up?
Oh yeah. There was one lady that comes to mind.
Okay, it's me, guys. The jig is up.
I knew it. No, I'm sorry. No, but there was a concert in the back at this one venue and bar that I worked at, and she was drinking and whatnot, and then she tried to come back in, but we weren't letting her in. However, we had a cop at the time, like just an off-duty officer in uniform, and come and just, you know, help out if things get a little bit more out of control. And he was the one that's like, ma'am, you cannot go back in. You refuse to go back in. And he was yelling at, telling the husband that she can't go back in and everything. And she tried like a couple of times, and it was funny, but it was also very sad.
It's funny instead. You're like watching the drunk mind think that it's going to outsmart you. And it's really just out-dumbing themselves.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of that scene from Bridesmaids when Kristen Wiig keeps trying to get into first class.
Uh-huh.
She's like,
That is like not me.
Finger mustache. Yeah.
See, I went straight to like the drunk lady during the pandemic outside of like ramming into the glass door over and over again. You know, I go there.
Oh man, I got a door ramming story for you.
Please, let's do it. What? Tell us.
Okay, so this happened not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. Some guy, he came in, random guy, like they all are, and he had a blue mohawk and a Nike shirt with the word freak on top of it. And I was like, all right.
Okay.
He tried to come in with the cigarette. I was like, hi, I'm going to need to see your ID. And also, you can't bring that cigarette in. You got to go back outside. He's like, all right, well, do you have Mortal Kombat? And I was like, we got Mortal Kombat 2. Take it outside. And he's like, all right. And he was out there for 5 minutes. And then he came back in. And he was like, you already showed you my ID. I was like, you never showed me your ID. And it's like, yeah, I did. I was like, you never showed me your ID, sir. I need to see your ID. And he was pulling out. I was like, how old do you think I am?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You look like you're 12.
You look like you're 12. Okay.
Yeah.
You look like you're 12. And he was like, oh, you don't have to be mean about it. I was just joking. Jesus Christ. And then he went in and he goes to the bar and he tells the bartender, like, hey, if you want to play this guy in Mortal Kombat, if you beat him, he'll buy you a beer. Okay, whatever. And there was one guy who like challenged him and ended up beating him. And after that, he lit up another cigarette in the bar.
Uh-oh.
And then the bartender was like, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. Get out of here.
I also love how easy this guy is to spot. With a blue fucking mohawk.
Yeah, blue mohawk.
Blue and the shirt guy that says freak. When the cops come, you're like, blue hair. The word freak on his chest.
Yeah. But, and after that, like, the bartender's like, all right, you're done. Get out of here. And I was like, all right, you're kicked out. You got to go. And then he was like, what? Because of a little cigarette? I was like, yeah, because you did that and you went and followed the rules. Like, I didn't know I couldn't do that. I was like, I told you first thing when you walked in, you cannot have a cigarette in here. And then after that, we ended up slowly backing out. He tried to go grab his beer. I took it from him. It ended up crushing and falling to the floor. That's an important part of the story.
Okay.
So, like, after a while, I was like, man, fuck you. And then he looked at the bartender, fuck you. I was like, well, fuck you, get out. And then he started go, and then he, like, nudged me a little bit, and he opened the door. And remember the can that I mentioned literally 5 seconds ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
I took it, and it was already crushed up, and he turned around, and I was trying to throw it at him, but, like, just in the general area, just to let him know, like, he's no longer welcome here. I ended up throwing it, and it hit him in the face.
And, too bad to have bad yet perfect aim.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. Like, all my baseball skills happened to come back for one night only.
Oh, fuck. And it was 90. It was a 90 mile per hour curveball.
Pretty much. And it cut him just above the right eye. And he started to bleed a little bit. And I was like, I made someone bleed, but I got to sting. I got to stay determined. You can't do that. And he's like, why would you do that? Why would you want to hurt me? You know, this? I was like, just leave. And then he's at the door, like, flicking me off, and that I'm flicking him off and thinking that, you know, like, just go. And then he tried to kick the door, and the door is pretty much all glass. And so, after that, I went out there and I grabbed him by the shirt, and I was trying to lead him, and he started trying to flail, and I grabbed him by the hair, and we walk up a little bit, and mind you, there's people all outside watching this, by the way, and I ended up throwing him a little bit. Now there's two metal tables that are sitting right outside in the front, and from my vantage point, he was going towards the corner of one of those tables, and I'm sitting here like, oh shit.
You're like, no, I'm like fucking WWF.
Yeah.
You like just dialed 9-1 on your phone waiting for the
Yeah. And then after that, he ended up falling right between the bench and the table. I was like, oh, thank God. And then he like gets up like, what? You want to go? You want to fight? And I was thinking, like, oh, you're so fucked up right now. I could definitely take you, but it will basically look like bullying from this point.
Sure.
So I backed off, like, get the fuck out of here. Don't ever come back. And I walked inside, and next thing you know, here I am, a legend yet again.
How do you like cool down off something like that too? Like, how do you decompress after? Can you sleep when you get home at night? Do you know?
Yeah, like with me, well, personally, I don't take it personally. I try not to take it as personal as possible.
This is great life advice, in general. It's usually not about you. It's not about the pasta, you know?
I have a job to do, and it's basically to make sure that the establishment is okay and that the patrons are okay. And if there's one bad apple, you got to get rid of it, you know?
Absolutely.
And like, basically I'll like feel all hyped up, but you know, I credit that to the little bit of acting that I do, like acting skills that I do have. And then after that, I'm just cool and calm. And like, I could feel the adrenaline slowing down and calming down, but I'm pretty cool. During any like incident, I got stories for days. I swear,
dude. Well, because I really do think we could stretch this out a little bit, especially if we did like another 15 or so together. Yeah. This could be a really fun. I mean, it's just a whole world that us as servers, like, we have our own shit to deal with when customers, like in a restaurant, are unruly or whatever. And when you're a restaurant, generally there's not a security person. So it's up to you and the staff to problem solve and call the police and, you know, maybe help get a woman's hand that's been forked to a table, successfully chainsawed off. But
you know, and on the other side of it too, us talking about like as a staff working together, like, do we call the cops or do we call somebody else to like intervene with this? And like, are there those sources where you're talking about staffs working together to decompress situations that like don't have to lead to somebody going to jail, you know?
Right But oftentimes you're like, who's the bravest and toughest, or like, who's the fucking short fused motherfucker on our staff who we go to first, you know? Because they'll either like step up and intimidate or whatever, or we as a group can figure it out. But when you're working in a situation where the venue has hired you specifically, first of all, you've written into us. You're like, I'm like a 6'3", you know, former athlete. You're like, you said, you know, you're like, I'm up close to 300 pounds, something like that. So like, right then and there, that's a, you know, like yeah. that's a great quality to have as yeah. a doorman. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a blessing and a curse, as I like
I understand.
To say.
Yeah,
but you are the muscle. Like, yeah. period. You know that. Yeah, that is part of it. But yeah. but also, I think you know.
But the
like
even,
you said, chill teddy yes. bear when you want to be. You yeah. know. Like
yeah.
on the fun nights, on the great nights, it's all high fives, how you doing, handshakes,
yeah.
shoot the shit with the regulars, I'm sure, you
yeah.
know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like checking IDs, like that's yeah. the fun stuff to be like, to still get to know people in your community and like be a part of the team.
Yeah,
just like
sure.
any other place, you know?
And that's the thing about it is that like when you see your friends or your regulars or even coworkers, it's always a fun time that you want to just, and I just want to sit there and just have the easiest of nights, you know,
right.
just don't start any fuck shit and let's just all go home in one piece. That's all I want. And there's definitely have been nights where that was the case and others that wasn't the case.
It just wasn't in the cards. It's kind of yeah. like the nights when you're like, we're just weeded and everyone's got a problem. And I didn't mm-hmm. want a problem, but it just, the universe is clapping back at me tonight for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
But part of the job description, which, you know, is to be someone who can be even tempered and cool headed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's basically all I want to do. Like, I always say, I actually have a little series on TikTok that
yeah.
I was basically breaking down like things like door guy stuff. And if you like go on TikTok and type in door guy stuff,
oh,
you
we'll,
can probably
we'll
find
put them
it.
Up. We'll put them up yeah. for sure. Okay.
And there was one where I basically say, I'm not every door guy and every door guy isn't me.
Sure.
And what I mean by that is I take the approach of being friendly and welcoming and respectful. I was like, how you doing, ma'am, sir? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. You know, and all of that. And there's some guys that I'll just be like, show me your ID. You know, they don't want to smile. They don't need to smile or anything. However, I try to be the face of the business and be the welcoming factor. And that's with any bar that I work at, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what, how it's going inside, whatever happens inside. But when you come in and you see me, I'm going to try to represent the best face possible for that establishment. And there are some that'll just be like friendly or some that's just very quiet and mild mannered and, you know, just want to just do their job. And there are some that are, for lack of a better term, on edge. And like, if you say the wrong thing, they'll kick you out immediately.
Right. Yeah. Like they attract the blue and Mohawks, right? Yeah. Like the Mohawks flock to them.
Pretty much. Yes, absolutely. So,
and you're like,
you see like a gaggle, like that's what the like blue Mohawks, drunk assholes, like swarming down the street. Like, yeah.
But it all depends. And, you know, there's multiple levels of security. Like at this one bar that I work at up and down this one street called Edgewood, there are many places that have armed security guards, which mm-hmm. are either cops that are off duty or people, like you said, that are hired from a security like firm or whatever. And you know, like it's nothing for me to see guns around, you know, those establishments. But me personally, I don't carry a gun. I barely carry a pocket knife. And yeah, like I just don't, it's not my vibe. Although I will say this, I am all for the Second Amendment and I do respect guns, but I don't want to be forced to carry one. You know what I mean?
No.
And unfortunately, especially at up and down that street, there has been in the last 5 weeks, 4 shootings, 1 death.
Wow.
And or at least 1 death. And it's kind of scary. And especially when you hear it, because, you know, sometimes you think, oh, that's fireworks. No, that's not fireworks, you know, and then you see people running up and down. And
it's been that time of year, though, too, where it's just like it is fireworks and guns,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
It's all of the above.
I mean, obviously bigger cities like all have like more levels of security up and down. I feel like with Atlanta, just like talking about it, because you guys are known for your strip clubs, right? Yeah. Like it's a known thing. Like the security there has got to be really interesting too, because there are rules and you know, is there booze allowed at the strip clubs there?
I'll be honest. I do not know. Like strip clubs are not, has never been my thing. I barely go to the oldest one, which is the Claremont Lounge. I know that if there's a bar, you generally cannot take alcohol inside unless, you know, I guess you have special permission, aka.
Oh, no, I guess I mean like them serving alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Like there's places that like they have bartenders all up and down, and then they they have an eye in the sky, aka the DJ, that'll point you out if you're not tipping the dancers or whatever. So I'm pretty sure that they basically bust balls all the time in there.
If you're not consuming and like throwing money at something all the time.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. And you're in the wrong place.
Yeah,
pretty much. But again, like some places they require like a lot more security than others, and all the jobs that I work except one basically required that type of security.
Okay.
But I only worked that one time, and I said I'm never going back. So.
Well, because I'm curious too. So, like, I mean, I'm sure an establishment has got to hammer out what their liability, their licensing is. You know how. It could get so messy to be a bouncer who is armed and something, you know, because we see how drunkenness and rage and all of these situations, like obviously the choice is going to be to just try and handle someone with hands. Mm-hmm. If you have to subdue them and then get them on their way. Like that's as much as anyone wants to do. But if someone's really coming at you with a weapon, that turns into a situation.
Yeah. And, you know,
and also fuck that. This is just your job. You don't own a bar.
Exactly. But thank God I haven't had to deal with a situation with that. But because
I'm knocking on my wood for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, we might need her. Yeah. The HR lady might need to handle this one too. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Let's get her on this. But yeah, like, ultimately, like if it comes down to a situation like that, it's going to be fight for survival. You know?
Yeah,
right. I'm going to do everything I can to stay alive.
Absolutely.
That's that's just the general nature of things, you know. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like it's sad, it's dark, you know, but it's like it's just well known that like drinking and drugging and staying up late and everyone's emotions are running high and exaggerated. And like, it just really, I mean, it creates a job that's needed, but it's a job that is created because of the fucked up behavior that everyone willingly enters into, you know? And it is scary when you think about nightlife a lot of the times too, where you're like, you know, there's, it attracts a criminal element. There are just the good old fashioned dive bars, you know, with just the old people trying to slowly kill themselves with alcohol. That's a place, that's where I'm most comfortable. There's no door person. You know, I personally, as a patron, I'm like, if this is a seriously like door person, doorman, and I'll get into this other topic in a minute, but like security check, coat check, they're patting everyone down before you come in. I'm already nervous to go there personally. I'm like, this is probably not going to be my crowd. Like the closest I come to that is sports and concerts, where it's like, yes, you got to check everyone and make sure no one's bringing a fucking bazooka into this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a situation where you're going to have like multi, you know, colored wristbands on for certain things, and that just makes everybody's job much easier. Do you wristband people at all on certain nights?
Not really. Like, especially at the one concert venue/bar that I work at, all I have to do is just sit there, you know, pretty much. But we'll get into why that has been such a pain in the ass as of late. But I basically like go upstairs and I make sure that everything is good. I make sure that the entertainers are okay, and that They don't, if they need anything, I'll try to help them out with that. And I tell them all the time, like, if there's anyone back there that is supposed to be back there, come and get me. I'll take care of it. And I basically have a list of rules for, like, just people who have a show. I was like, only you and the photographers are allowed back there. If a family or friend has to go back there, you must escort them back and you must escort them out. And while you are on stage, no one of your friends or family are allowed backstage at all. Simple.
I mean, talent babysitter is a big thing. Yeah. People don't mind the rules when it comes to that, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the times.
Yeah, very simple stuff. But, you know, there are times where you have to just check these college boys and girls, you know, the boys with the, as I like to call them, the Alabama comb over when they have like this full mane of hair, but for some reason it's always like around their eyebrows and they got the collar shirts and shit. I'm like, just cut the shit off. But I'm sorry, I'm an old man now. But no, but like there has been incidences where I had to go up to people and were like, hey, calm it down or whatever. Like I just go about my business, and you know, if it's secure, I do my job.
Yeah.
But, and then like you have owners like the one that I work for who like to tell me like, hey, I need you to do figure eights in the middle of the show and pick up trash and whatnot. And I'm just like,
what? You're like, no, yeah. That's like, that's a different job description.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
exactly. And oh my God, that this place has been pissing me off so much.
Yes, you described it, that it's like, yeah. Kind of being that faceless, sort of emotionless presence who's just instilling calm and security, but then trying not to take it personally or wondering, do I even want to work at this event? When you were saying it was like QAnon, like just a crazy political candidate.
What happened?
I know.
So, set this up, please. Okay.
So I go into work. This is what, two Fridays ago now? And I walk in and I say hey to everybody. And I walk upstairs just to, you know, check out the sound check and make sure that everybody's all right upstairs. And when I get there, the sound guy, he comes to me like, hey, Jared, you want to ask your $50 for tonight? You want to sell merch? I was like, all right, that's cool. I guess I could do that. Not a problem. And when I go into work, I don't know what's going on more times than not. I don't know half the bands that are playing or anything. Like they're just another band or they're just another person or whatever. Not even thinking about it. If the music's good, cool. If it's not good, cool, but people enjoy it. And so I was like, sure, I'll do that. And they're like, oh no, actually we're gonna need you at the door. I was like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. And after sound check, I go outside. They're smokers. I'm not. And he looks at me like, yeah, I had to change my mind about that because this guy, this is basically kind of underground stuff because he was at the Capitol on January the 6th. And, you know, there are talks of people trying to, like, come at him and whatnot. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Right. And so you had basically an event for quote unquote patriots.
Yeah. You know? And cool. Was it
Ariel Pink?
No. No. It was, I guess I could give his name. I don't care anymore. The name of the guy was Shane Hazel. He's running for governor.
No idea.
Under the libertarian name. And he was talking about libertarianism. And then the entertainer, his name was it Zach Deputy? And I don't know if both of them were there or not, but oh, I can tell you that Zach Deputy, it started to become painful listening to his music because apparently he was slated to play for 3 hours.
No,
yeah,
no one named Zach Deputy should feel more than 45 minutes.
Exactly. And
especially like, when you're like crying about being like a white nationalist and like an men's rights activist.
And you know, that's the thing. Like pretty much it was because from what I understand, libertarianism is like diet Republican, but they also like weed, you know? And that's basically what they were talking about, more or less. It's just that, and like, but I was basically on edge because, you know, I'm not affiliated with any type of ideology of that, or even conservatism in that lot. But it was just so uncomfortable for me. Like, even the general manager is like, dude, I'm so sorry. I had nothing to do with it, but I apologize. I was like, man, yeah, this has been pretty fucked up tonight.
And just to give our listeners a handle on what you were listening to, just, you know, Zach Deputy describes his style as island infused drum and bass gospel ninja soul. I was just given that information by Brian.
Yeah. That's basically what it sounded, what he tried to make it sound like, because he has loops, a looper machine. So, yeah. Like, and I was like, this guy is just.
Your face right now.
You were.
So like,
but you're okay. Also like, you're seeing all the people coming in and out of this venue at the same yes. time, right? And that's yes. more what it is like the attraction of it. And you being like, oh, is this a fucking rally? Like, what's going yeah. on right now, right?
Yeah, I get, yeah. And then like after a while, you know, like when the ticket office is closed, it's pretty much fair game. That's natural. People come in and out and people are curious. And like last week, one of my really good friends, he and his band performed and they threw down. Oh, it was an amazing show. But yeah, it's curiosity more or less for people. And, you know, like by that time you got like these 20 somethings, like new to Atlanta types that'll just come in and they just want to dance. And that's fine, you know. But for the most part, I think like after a few questions, like a quick Q&A thing, because that Hazel guy, he was like the host of like trying to like bring up like the liberal agenda or something. I really was trying to zone out because I was like, what in the ever loving fuck did I get into? And after he talked and gave a quick Q&A, it just went to the music, and I've never heard anything. Yes,
it was rough.
It was very, very.
There's got to be on top of that too. No wonder your general manager's like apologizing, going yeah. like, "Cool, here we've got someone whose job is to keep these knuckleheads safe, who don't want to mm-hmm. keep others safe." Exactly. You know, yeah. they don't have our safety or your safety or well-being or mm-hmm. or think less of us, you know, as women and people of color to have any rights in this country.
Oh, absolutely.
It's really fucked up. It's not. Yeah,
mm-hmm. absolutely. And it's got to be like a big thing. And I imagine like running security for something like that, mm-hmm. hearing that this dude was at the insurrection and like what happened to security and mm-hmm. officers there. I'm sure that went through your head and just be like, cool, this is fucked up. Like, yeah. what's going to happen tonight? You know, yeah,
exactly. And, you know. Again, I was learning all of this on the fly, and
after you've clocked in, you're like, after what I now? Clocked
in, and I'm like, you know, if this guy looks at me the wrong way, uh-huh. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that there's stairs going down on both yeah. ends. So, you know, that's
someone,
what I'm saying.
Can have a whoopsie.
Yeah, there would be a oopsie.
Well, that's dark. I want to ask two things and we'll wrap up. So can we talk about the sort of understood? I mean, we do understand, but there's absolutely different protocol for handling an out of control or violent male patron versus an out of control or violent female patron. Obviously, we know the gold standard, like we don't punch women, you know, yeah. you just did period. Mm. Other great life advice or whatever. So, how do you and your friends and other people who do this job, like, what are your tricks of the trade for kind of de-escalating?
Well, when it comes to guys or even anybody for that mm-hmm. matter, I try not to put hands on anyone. I just sure. stand in the way and I like start slowly walking towards the door as mm-hmm. they're walking back. Mm-hmm. And basically at that moment it's like, if you touch me, you fucked up, you know what yeah. I mean? And so I basically don't go in thinking violence or wanting violence. I just keep my hands to myself. Mm-hmm. And we try to de-escalate it that way and just get them outside. And if they're like resisting, that's when you gotta like put, you know, put a little force behind it a little bit. And if they continue to be resistant and whatnot, that you just basically gonna have to drag them out, you know? And
I love the heave ho. I really love like that. You got them by the back of their pants and the back of their shirt and you throw them out like a bag of trash.
Yeah. That's what happened to the guy who almost hit the table.
Exactly.
But
I would think a calm move, and I've seen this before too, is kind of like you turn someone around and you guide them out by their shoulders gently. Kind of like my hands are on you, but I'm not doing anything that's painful yet.
I've actually had to do that because I don't know if it's still like pending, but there's a woman that was kicked out of the venue. This is at a previous venue, and she was being violent. She ended up biting the door of the ticket office guy.
Yeesh. And
I basically went up to her and I grabbed her by the shoulder. She calmed down immediately and I walked her out.
Yeah, who bites the ticket office person?
This crazy bitch does, obviously.
If you are biting someone before you've even gotten in, like,
No.
Also, how did she get in through that little slot of plexiglass?
There's secrets. I can't tell you. What it was is one of the musicians of this band, very popular band in Atlanta, it was his ex-girlfriend, and like he actually came out to me as like, hey man, my ex-girlfriend's here. She's being violent and unruly. Is there a way that you like get her out? And I told him, I was like, there should be a guy in the back, another security guy. Tell him because he could do more with that. And apparently, like she was being kicked out. I was asked to go and help out the situation. And, like when I went back there, my friend was like, she's biting me. And I came up behind her, grabbed her by the shoulders, and she calmed down and she was all limp and sad. And we walked her out. And last I heard that she was like, it was going to court. And this was over a year ago, obviously. But
yikes.
Yeah. So
wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of stress that got put out on a lot of people because people's feelings are ultimately hurt. What a shame.
Yeah, I know.
It's so crazy. And you just like, sometimes kindness can go a long way to be like, I'm sorry you're having a rough night. People are so keyed up. Us ladies just need someone to talk to sometimes because that guy might have been a real jerk and a gaslighting fool.
I think being a bouncer is like you witnessing like the big social experiment every night, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see all walks. You see people at their best and their worst. Like, wow.
Yeah. Right. Coming in, you see like people like roll up to the club in their beautiful little dresses and their heels. And then they're leaving with one shoe missing and they're wearing like a fucking bar napkin, you know, they're like, I don't know where my top went. I'm wearing a bar napkin over each tit. But, you know, got wild in there.
Just make sure the license plate on their Uber matches the one on the car and you get them in and,
Pretty much. Yeah.
But do you have any advice for people who feel oh so inspired to get into this line of work?
If you want to be like, just be yourself, more or less. And also have a calm demeanor. Don't get too excited. Don't get too like down. Always try to keep your emotions intact because it can get emotional. They will say some really messed up things. I've been called fat boy. I've been called worse. Oh, I've definitely been called worse over the years, but you know, I don't take it personally. Like just, you know what you're getting into, know your surroundings, know the neighborhood, and be cool with as many people as you can. You know, always check IDs. Always don't ever feel obligated to make someone feel like they're important. What am I trying to say? If your answer is no, let it be no. Let it stay as a no. You know, don't let people walk all over you because they want to get in or whatever. So, but yeah,
and generally, Are we supposed to tip bouncers? Like, I'm not talking about bribes. Yeah. I'm talking about, like, right, are we like, supposed to be like, thank you for everything. Here's $20. Good night.
I'm totally okay with that. I've received many a tip. Some people are like, hey, man, this is for you. And I was like, oh, well, thank you. You know, like the owner, the establishments don't frown upon that. But if you're like walking out with more money than the bartenders, you know, then that's going to be a problem.
They're
going to
hear about it.
Not your yeah. Look, if you can't help it if you're the fucking best, you know,
it's not your fault that you're awesome.
Yeah. But I'm talking about like taking bribes, like personally.
Oh, yeah.
But like if like people want to
like
tip
you like walk in know. With your tip jar when you get to work.
But yeah. no. But yeah, just like tips, I'm fine with it. If you don't want to tip, that's cool. Like if you want to tip, that's cool. Like that's just how I operate. But
right. Yeah, and I think it's important to also know that, you know, like, listen, some people love to do the thing where they're like, hey, man, let me buy you a drink. You have to suss it out. But generally you can't. You know, that's not the way you're showing appreciation in this venue.
Like,
you know?
Yeah, I definitely like more times than not, I will always refuse alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, can I buy you a drink? It's like, no, I don't drink while I'm at work. And that's just been a general rule for me for the last 4, 5, 6 years now. It's mm-hmm. just don't drink on the job. And yep. You know, like, because I'm the first line of defense, more or less. So
right,
I gotta
right.
be sharp. But yeah, also just a little tidbit, like if anyone, this is for everyone, but if anyone is giving you a hard time at the bar, please go to the bouncer or the door guy, because they are the ones who can handle this situation. Because if you go to the bartender, you're probably throwing off the rhythm. You're probably slowing things down, which is going to make it even more difficult for them. So come to the door guy. Don't be afraid to come to us. We're always going to do our jobs to make sure that you are safe and cared for. So
I had a situation, our door guy, Antonio, at the Fable. You know, I mm-hmm. went up and I talked to him. There was a girl who was on the patio last Thursday who mm-hmm. I had been keeping eyes on. She was alone. She was in and out of consciousness, just sitting there alone with a suitcase. But she had ordered food next door, had a meal alone. I watched her having a glass of wine. But mm-hmm. then some other substance that I was not aware of that maybe she had. Then she came over and I asked her, she's like, well, I'm visiting from Arizona. And I was like, ooh, do you know where you're going? You know, whole thing. But like, I was like, I'll help you if you need help. She didn't want it. So then mm-hmm. I immediately, you know, I looked over to Antonio and he's like, oh yeah, I've got eyes on the situation. I'm not mm-hmm. going to let a guy scoot her away.
Yeah, we don't want another Cecil Hotel incident. Jesus, that's exactly what that sounds like to me.
It was tough, but it's like they're your allies. They are looking out for people. You know, it's the person to go to. You know,
yeah,
and you want to make sure we're safe and having a good time.
Absolutely, and I'll leave with this story as well. I actually hurt my hip doing this, but there was a guy that was kicked out because he was high, pretty much. And we kicked him out because he was bothering 3 women. And long short, he was trying to be a little nuisance. He ended up throwing a cone at me. And, you know, he's lucky that I wasn't close enough to, like, catch him and beat the shit out of him. But anyway, he was in and out of that phase. Like, why am I being kicked out? He's like, oh, you're fat and you can't catch me and all this other stuff. But while we were dealing with him, those 3 ladies came out and they were trying to go home. And while they were out, it was like, they saw him like, oh, God, that's the guy. I was like, ladies, I'll walk you around them and send you on the way. So while one of my coworkers was dealing with him, I walked them around and helped them on the way. And as soon as they were gone, he turned around and he saw them. And I looked at him, I was like, where the fuck you think you're going? And he was like, what, you going to try to fight me? I was like, yeah, you wish you could fight me and all this other stuff. And I was talking all types of mad shit just to keep his attention on me.
Right.
And it worked, because those ladies, as soon as I couldn't see them anymore, I let it go. But he was like, oh, why don't you come and find out? Why don't you come and find out? So I like tried to like run after him, and I ended up slipping on some dirt. And
oh, you told him this.
Yeah, and my hip went like, hey, fat ass, you can't do that. I was like, thanks, hip. And
like your whole body went like, yeah.
And he's like, you can't catch me, you fat, and all this other stuff. And I was like, well, yes, well, you know, and I was just talking all types of mad shit. I was like, yeah, your mother didn't say that. I forget what I said.
Well, someone needs to tip you with a foam roller or a Theragun the next time you.
But my manager is like, what are you doing? Leave him alone, leave him alone. It's like, I'm trying to give the ladies more distance so that he won't follow them to wherever they're going.
Classic diversion tactic.
Yeah, yeah. And so I sacrificed my hip for that. So
you're a hero. You're a legend, as you used to call yourself, and now we call you.
To the legend. What did my manager call me? It was like he of legend.
Yes. He of legend. Jarrett, he of legend Hayes.
Yes. I mean, this brings me, not that I have never in my life not appreciated like the amazing people that have worked the door where I have worked, but like every place that I will go into from now on, I hope you guys, you know, put different eyes on like everything that is going on in these people's heads. At all fucking times.
I fully appreciate it because it's like on Monday nights, it's a female staff, you know, it's me out there till after 2 and a female bartender. Mm-hmm. And I found out that the door guy was our bartender's man, which is really cute.
I love
so
that.
He's working the door, protecting his lady. And by default, me. So, you know, there's a really heightened sense of appreciating that as someone who this is a new world that I'm re-entering into.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that I definitely want to stress is just to everyone just have a good time. Be sure to have your IDs with you. Don't have it on your phone. Bring your IDs. Except
passports, okay, right?
Yes.
Passports, fine.
Passports, green cards if you're immigrant, ID, driver's license. In Georgia, some places even take the concealed weapons license.
But not a Costco membership card?
No.
What the fuck?
I know. But yeah, just if you're going to leave your house, it doesn't matter for how long. Don't be like, I left my ID at home. Why did you leave your ID at home? You have your phone with you.
Right,
you have your keys with you.
Right.
Why couldn't you bring your wallet or your ID? Dumbass, bring your fucking ID.
No excuse. But I'm also just going to say when my Costco card is in my purse, it's basically a concealed weapon anyway. You know what I mean? So I many savings. You. It's dangerous.
It is. It so is.
Man, well, you've been amazing to spend time with and talk to. And
absolutely.
Glad your health is returned and you stay safe doing the job.
Thank you.
And let us know about this, you know, this new line of work we might get into called production assisting leather. Hello.
I'll definitely give you all that information.
We're all out there looking for any heads up on any sort of interesting new job we could all get into.
Yeah.
So.
Now, if worlds collide, you'll be bouncing at a leather bar in no time.
Booyah.
Amazing. We will share some of your TikTok videos if you want to connect us to those. We'll go find them. But,
sure.
All right. Keep it cool in Georgia.
Yes.
I think Atlanta is one of the cities we would potentially, maybe be able to get a little crowd if we ever did a live thing. So we'll hook it up with you. We'll do something together and...
Yeah, we'll definitely have a good time. There's plenty of places around that are pretty awesome.
I've never been as an adult, so I really, really love to go to Atlanta. So.
I'll show you all the sites where they filmed all those movies that were made in L.A. or like said that the scenery was L.A.
You'll be like, that green screen's where they filmed Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And that green screen's where they filmed the Avengers. Like,
yeah.
You know,
I'll show you the the London Art Museum. Or London Museum of Art that was filmed in Black Panther is literally up the street and around the corner from me.
Nice.
So yeah.
Great episode. And I have a new one. You know, Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode?
Godspeed.
And good behavior.
Yes. Bring your IDs, damn it.
Mind your P's and Q's.
Please.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Thank you.